Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, we're off on a trip to the seaside to find out more about the new coastal wave and why this is adding to the appeal of Dartmouth and Torbay, those sought-after communities by the briny. For so many people, living near to the sea has always been the dream, but it seems like more and more of us are turning this dream into a reality. You could say we're witnessing a new coastal wave. Is this just another manifestation of the race for space that was inspired by the pandemic? Or is something deeper going on? How has this dream affected property values in the well-known resorts and in lesser-known spots by the sea? To get an insight into this key property market trend, we'll be looking at the markets in Dartmouth and Torbay, prime areas of the southwest coast. Who's moving there and why? And how much does following this particular dream cost? Once again, I'm joined by Dominic Agay, CEO of Winkworth, and also by Richard Blake from Winkworth Dartmouth. Welcome to you both. Now, first to you, Dominic. What's so special about living by the coast and how is this driving property values?
So I think it's all lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, living by the coast is a wonderful way of life, whether it's sailing, surfing, lobster potting, fishing. There is so much more to do than perhaps living in any other environment in the UK that it keeps you engaged and gives you that balance in life that people are looking for and increasingly at the moment. In terms of how that's driven prices, there was a big move to the country, and that's been, the latest last couple of years with the pandemic. Obviously, people have really sought after these areas. But to a certain extent, the coastal dream has been alive for many years. So when you look at sort of prices historically, you're seeing that over the last 5 years, prices in homes by the coast have gone up by an average of 25%. Over the last 10 years, 50%. So that, compared to a more rural location, for example, is huge, really. In the more rural locations, there really hadn't been any price movement until the sort of big move to the country driven by the pandemic. So I think it's that lifestyle, which is only becoming more and more important to people, that has always driven prices, but is doing so increasingly these days.
I think you could say we're sailing into choppier economic waters. Could that change buyers' preferences? Will people want to live closer to the office?
I think definitely there's going to be an element of reversion. You're seeing that in the London property market, which has sort of picked up significantly as perhaps some people went too far or too hybrid, would one say, over the last couple of years and need to be a bit nearer. And certainly there is the element of uncertainty, people wanting to be closer to the job. But I think that's less of a factor in your sort of coastal living. I think the houses with, sea views are generational houses in many cases. They're not building many more of them with sea views. There's huge planning constraints. And those that have them hang on to them for dear life. I mean, I've got a story of a friend of mine who's sadly his mother passed away and had a house in Sussex. It's a beautiful 17th century house and a sort of bungalow with a view over the sea in Cornwall, and the family, sold the 17th century house and to ensure that they could keep hold of the sort of bungalow with the glorious sea view. So that bungalow had been owned by the grandparents before the mother. And so that's generations, and people really do wait for their moment to get these houses with the sort of glorious sea views.
Now I'm going to turn now to Richard, find out what's happening on the southwest coast. Richard, Dartmouth and Torbay are your patch. Take us on a tour of those locations, if you would, and give us the most familiar seaside names in this part of the southwest coast.
Well, the market's has been very hot and remains very hot. Torbay and Dartmouth, although very close geographically, are different in many ways. Dartmouth is a small estuary town. Torbay consists of three main resorts: Torquay, Paignton and Brixham. Torquay and Paignton are traditional British seaside towns that are seeing huge investment at the moment. The face of Torquay and Paignton is changing. Brixham is one of the country's busiest fishing ports, as well as a fantastic holiday destination. And price rises in the southwest have been considerable, but none have been bigger than Brixham. So Brixham is certainly a place where people are looking to buy.
You've got some quite different communities. Who wants to buy there? What kind of buyer wants Dartmouth? Who's looking to buy in Sorkham? And is Brixham the new cool haunt?
It appears that Brixham is the new cool haunt. It has been historically more affordable than Dartmouth, the South Hams with Sorkham. The buyers that we have are a mixture, to be honest. We have a lot of lifestyle buyers who are moving lock, stock and barrel to the areas. We have holiday homes, second homes that they purchase for their own use and to holiday let when they're not using them. And we have local markets as well. So our local market, certainly in Torbay, is a strong market.
Now, you say Brixham is the new cool place to be. I don't know it. Can you take me and the rest of the Property Exchange fans on a tour of this place?
Certainly. So Brixham, apart from being a popular holiday destination, is one of the country's busiest fishing ports. And what we call the Harbour Bowl. So the harbour's set in a bowl with hillsides around it. Properties cling to the edge of this bowl. And the town centre itself is full of pavement cafes, pretty boutiques, while still being a working resort, which is different to other resorts in the area, which are purely holiday, really. Coastal path runs through it. Fantastic marina. It's just fantastic place to be, really.
Now, I sense you're getting quite a lot of interest from people who currently live in big cities. If they come to your part of the world, won't they be missing out on the sort of stuff they're used to, the coffee shops, the artisan butchers and that kind of thing?
15 or 20 years ago, that may have been true, but we're seeing fantastic cafes and restaurants, Michelin-starred restaurants, throughout Torbay and Dartmouth, with celebrity chefs owning restaurants and cafes, plenty of delicatessens and French patisseries popping up. Really quite a fantastic vibe.
Are they buying these houses to actually live there? Because there's a lot of controversy over second homes at the moment.
Well, about two-thirds of the properties are lived in full-time. So there's a proportion of second homes which is important to the local economy, the local tradespeople, the shops and the boutiques that have popped up over recent years are all supported by not only the full-time occupants of the properties but the holidaymakers as well.
So they really are contributing to the local community?
They certainly are.
So that's the one-third of buyers who are buying second homes. Has that always been the percentage of purchasers in that area?
It's always been popular with second home owners, although, of course, over recent times and pandemic years, that's got bigger by about 10%, I'd say.
Do you suspect there will be some pressure for change in the tax system to reflect that an area has quite a high percentage of second homes?
I hope so. And I know that Mr. Gove is looking at ways of improving the situation for the local economy through the tax system. There is an option for second homeowners to register as businesses and then fall out of the council tax brackets. But that is being looked at heavily by Mr. Gove, say.
Now, I'm sure this is quite a wide area and there's a very broad range of prices. But could you give us some examples for different types of buyer and investor?
A holiday home lock-up and leave pad can start anywhere from 200 to 250,000 plus. And riverside homes in Dartmouth and beautiful properties in Torquay with sea views can be multi-million pounds, 2 to 5 million, depending on the size of the property.
So there's something for almost everyone. What's the entry-level price for Salcombe, say?
Well, Salcombe's a different market to anything other than perhaps Sandbanks in the UK. It's extremely expensive to buy in Salcombe. There are properties that are set aside for local people, and I think that's very important. But millions of pounds are spent on properties in Salcombe for sure.
What percentage of your clientele are coming to the area to downsize?
To downsize, that's a good question, because if they're moving from London, their money will buy whatever they'd like, almost in Torbay for sure, and in a lot of Dartmouth, so, and the South Hams. So downsizing is probably irrelevant, I would have thought, because they can buy so much for their money.
Do you see any signs that prices could be weakening?
We've had a huge supply issue over the last 18 months, 2 years. We're now seeing more properties come to the market, and there'll be a supply and demand issue. We're still seeing huge buying from investors and people moving into the area. And I don't see that stopping, to be honest, in the short term.
Now, we've all learnt that it's really great to live beside the sea, but what are the connections like to London? Is a 2-day-a-week commute possible?
Certainly. I came on the train this morning. I'm going back at 2 o'clock, and it'll 2 hours, 45 minutes. I'll be back in Totnes. Such an easy trip. You can work on the train as well as you're commuting. You can fly from Exeter and Newquay into London. Perfectly feasible.
And of course, the trains come into Paddington, don't they? So you can take the new Elizabeth line.
So I understand, yes. And I will do that on the way back.
Now, I'm not going to let you go without mentioning a niche market, the Beach Hut. Now, they may be small, but they're the coastal properties that the British seem to love so much. Can you tell us about this important part of the market and the level of demand?
So Dartmouth and the South Hams generally don't have any beach huts, but Torbay's full of them. But they're actually owned by the local authority and hired out to either holidaymakers or locals who rent them for a 12-month period. Further down the coast in Dorset, I know that the most expensive beach hut has been sold, and I believe that was £350,000 just on a beach outside Christchurch. Unbelievable, really, but, you know, there you go.
But in your part of the coast, it's rather more democratic.
It is.
Now, coming back to Dominic, we hear a lot about mental health and the beneficial aspect of the right home to people's mental states. Give us your insight into this.
Well, so I think there's been quite a lot of work on this, research into it. I think it started, the question is, why are people who live by the sea happier than those that don't? And then, you know, people have looked into why that's the case. And there's such a thing now as called Blue Health, which is related to those people that are lucky enough to live their lives by the sea. And some of that's very obvious. You know, it's lifestyle, more physical activity, the sound of the waves helping you sleep, things that are fairly obvious. But I think that we're finding out more and more about other parts of it that kind of directly impact. So, you know, cold water swimming is the new craze, and everyone now goes down to the sea to get their cold hit in the morning, which is their... they believe is now something that tackles anxiety in people by having that sort of 15, 20 minutes. We obviously try and do that in London, but it's just under the shower, so not quite as fun. But the, you know, that's one part. And then you go, there are other theories, you know, about negative ions that are created by the crashing waves that directly affect your serotonin levels. So it's actually something that I think people have always known, and, you know, from the Victorian times and the holidays by the sea, and it's always been popular for bringing peace of mind and happiness. But I think some of the research now is showing that it does have a direct impact. There was a study the other day that was saying they sort of surveyed 26,000 people and they found that those that the people sort of live within a kilometre and those that were sort of 50 kilometres from the sea, and those 50 kilometres sea were sadly 22% more likely to have mental health challenges than those that lived right on the coast. So I think there's something in it. It's why it appeals to us all so much. And the research is sort of coming through that shows which part of it is really benefiting us.
You've told us all about these massive health benefits of living by the coast. Are there any other coastal hotspots, any other places benefiting from this new coastal wave?
Well, I suppose the one that springs to mind, as Richard mentioned, is Mudderford by Christchurch, where your beach hut now costs you £350,000 to buy for that ultimate access to the sea. So, I mean, we cover a number of coastal locations from Bournemouth to Highcliffe, Mudderford, as I said, with the land of the beach hut, Brighton with the Regency houses overlooking the sea, and Southwold, where I actually popped to on my holidays. Everything has something completely different. It's different parts of England have different aspects and wind and coastlines, and it's what drives you, really, whether you like the sort of the hills of Cornwall, the cliffs of Cornwall, or you like the kind of sandy beaches of Southwold. It's something one has to find for one's own personality and where it fits. And all I would say is that all those areas, they have become incredibly busy. There are lots of people picking them as their places to go and live. And I think that's set to continue.
Now, quick fire. First to you, Richard, what's your favourite beach in your area?
It has to be Blackpool Sands. It's one of the most photographed of beaches in the UK. It has a wonderful restaurant, which of course is high on my priority list, and wonderful crashing waves, and quite dramatic in the winter as well as summer.
Dominic, are you a hills and mountains guy, or are you a seaside fan?
I have to say I'm a seaside fan. I've got a number of places that I love, really. Different times of life, perhaps. So starting with sort of Cornwall and splashing around trying to surf and failing miserably. So that's one that sort of lives with me. To sailing around the Isle of Wight and that scenery is fantastic in my view, and this kind of challenging sailing and fresh winds. To the Suffolk coast, where you can sort of take a big around Aldborough and Southwold, where you can sort of walk along the sort of brisk sea with the northern wind coming in and buy your crabs in the local crab shack. So I think different parts of the UK offer so many different versions of seaside living that it's intriguing. And I think just seeing as many as possible is what I'd like to be doing.
So thank you, Richard, and thank you, Dominic, for what feels like a day out beside the sea. We've had an insight into the new coastal wave, but we didn't get those fish and chips, did we? Maybe it's time for a proper Winkworth podcast day out. Meanwhile, do subscribe and join us for next month's Property Exchange podcast, where, again, we'll be talking about a key trend in the property market.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.